So we're going to be talking today about one of the topics of the last things. And the last things are very important, meditating upon the reality of death, that one day we have to die. Then the reality of judgment. Judgment comes right after death. There's what is called the particular judgment as soon as we die, then the general judgment at the end of the world. Then the reality of hell. Now, hell exists, and that could be a possibility. We want to avoid that at all costs. Then heaven. And as Catholics, we believe also in what is called purgatory. So death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. With this, we also have the idea of eternity. Eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends. So either we'll be saved for all eternity or lost for all eternity. So this class is going to be dedicated to the reality of judgment. Let's start. What will your judgment be like? We have only one life to live. Our life is very short on earth. The psalmist says, our life is like the flower of the field. It rises in the morning and dies as the sun goes down. How poetic, but how beautiful. Like the flower in the morning that rises in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down. In other words, we are here today and we're gone tomorrow. A great saint that we should get to know, his name is St. Augustine, puts it this way. Our life on earth, in comparison with eternity, is a mere blink of the eye. A mere blink of the eye. That's how short life is. A mere blink of the eye. How short it is. So I gave all of you, our experts in math, so I gave you the timeline, okay? So if you count in one direction, no matter how much you count, you're never going to exhaust all the numbers, are you? How about you count the other direction? Same thing, right? So the number line, I think, is one of the best analogies you have for eternity. You can count and count and count, and you're never going to exhaust all those numbers. You arrive at a million, then you go into a billion, then a billion, you go into trillion after trillion. And you go on and on and on. There's really no end to the numbers. So there's no end to God. Eternity, what is it? The concept of eternity is very hard for us to grasp. But we should try to understand it as much as we can. How can we put it? Eternity means this. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And ever. And ever. And ever and ever. It simply never ends. The example might be to ask you to count numbers, either forward or backwards. Whatever direction you choose, you'll never end, and there are always more numbers to count. We'll try to do it tonight. Before you go to bed, try to count. Probably going to fall asleep once you hit 98 or 99. God and us. You know, God had no beginning. And he has no end. And his God is eternal. We, on the other hand, had a beginning in time. And that was the moment of our conception, womb of our mother. God willed your existence for all eternity. He loved you and had a plan for you. He formed you and molded in your mother's womb. In other words, you had a start or a beginning. However, your soul came into existence, in the moment of your existence, and your soul, being immortal, will have no end. It is eternal. Death and judgment. As soon as you die, then you'll be judged. This is an important teaching in our Catholic Church. As soon as you die, judgment. You're going to go before Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, okay, what did you do with your life? Hopefully you're able to give him a bestseller. It'll be placed in the halls of heaven. A bestseller. You're going to be reading the book of your life, or you're going to be watching the DVD of your life, or the YouTube of your life, okay? Or the movie of your life, no? Is it going to be G or PG or R or X or XXX? Hopefully it's going to be a really good movie to give to the Lord, that all the angels and saints will be watching and applauding, no? Your life. No? You'll win an Oscar for it, right? So let's go. Let's respond to the reality of our own judgment. When will our particular judgment be? When? As soon... What? What? As soon as we die. As soon as we die, then we'll be judged. Soon as we die, that's a moment of judgment. While we have life, there's always hope. So even if we've lived not a very good life, we can always turn back to God, beg for mercy, and He'll forgive us. While we have life, there's always hope. Who then will judge us? Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry, we jumped one. Number two. What is death for Catholics? Now, biologically, it's different than spiritually. If you're a doctor or a nurse, you deal in healthcare issues, they would probably define death as the cessation of the heartbeat. When the heart no longer beats, you're dead. Or another medical way of defining it would be when the brain waves, they go flat. Ever been in the hospital and you see a machine there and it seems like you go up and down, up and down, up and down, going up and down, up and down, up and down. That's a sign, the vital sign that the person is still alive. But if it goes flat, code blue, guys, he's passed from time to eternity. So the definition we give is death is the moment that your soul leaves your body. You write that in there? So as soon as your soul leaves your body, in that moment, then you're dead. As soon as your soul leaves your body. That's the most important moment in your life. That will determine for all eternity your eternal destiny. It's really important to prepare yourself for that moment. When will we die? When will we die? Nobody knows the day, the hour, the minutes, the second that he will die. That depends on God and his divine will. Tell you something interesting about the uncertainty of death. I have my maternal grandmother. She passed away. Some of you maybe have your grandparents that are still living. Any of you? At least one of them, maybe? Maybe a couple of them? Your abuelitas, no? My maternal grandmother lived in 3 centuries. Somebody thinking that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. How could that be possible? Someone living in 3 centuries, that doesn't that seem almost impossible? For me, it'd be impossible. You know why? Because I was born right in the middle of the century. So for me, it would be impossible because I was born in the middle of the century. You guys might be able, if you were born. No, I don't think so. It's only possible if what? If someone is born at the very end of a century, right? Right, Diego? So my grandmother was born in 1898 and she died in the year 2002. So she remembers Wilbur Wright. Ever hear Wilbur Wright? Invention of the airplane? Ever hear of Henry Ford?
Yeah.
Invention of the car. You ever hear of Babe Ruth? Never heard of him, huh? One of the best athlete in the world, huh? She saw, hey, Babe Ruth beating the Tiger. She was a Tiger fan because she lived in Detroit, no? She'd be listening on her little transistor radio. Ah, the Tigers lost again. Babe hit another home run. Ah, Babe, go back to New York. But you know, also, I have a little sister that only lived 9 months. Yep. Interesting, isn't it? She was a stillborn baby. She's actually, the umbilical cord actually strangled my little sister. It's tough. I was 8 years old. My parents already had 5. That would have been number 6. Yeah. And I've often thought, related to this topic, why did my grandmother live to be 104 and my little sister only 9 months? Kind of a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. But God knows what he's doing. It's really not important, a long life, but a holy life. Okay. Got that? Not a long life, but a holy life. You ever hear of Dominic Savio? Any of you have St. Dominic Savio? You know how old he lived to be?
13.
14. You ever hear of Maria Goretti? Any of you? She stabbed 14 times. This guy wanted to rape her and she said no. And she was stabbed 14 times. She was only 11 years old. How about St. Anthony of the Desert? Was he one of your friends? He lived about 104 years old. You know what his diet was? Bread and water. Maybe an olive now and then. Pretty good diet, huh? So, we're going to die, but we don't know when we're going to die. When I was in Argentina, there was an elderly catechist who would have... She had a lot of really good proverbs. And one of my favorite proverbs would be this. It's in Spanish. See if we can translate it. La muerte es lo más cierto, es lo más incierto. Luis? None of you know your Spanish? You forgot all your Spanish? La muerte es lo más cierto y lo más incierto. La muerte es lo más cierto, lo más incierto. Translation? Death is the most certain thing, but it's also the most uncertain thing. The most certain, because none of us can escape. But it's the most uncertain because we don't know the day, the hour, nor the manner. I went to Palm Nursing Home on Termino, there in Long Beach. You know where that is? And I blessed this man, and I heard out that he died this morning. It was good that in the sense that I was able to give him the last sacraments. It's a good idea that he was able to receive the last sacraments before he died. Would you like to receive the last sacrament before you die? None of you? The key is you make sure that you have a priest that's your friend. Don't make me angry. Right? Is it good? It's good fire insurance. Are they good fire insurance? So, death. We don't know when, but we got to be prepared. Jesus says, it will come like a thief in the night. Thief in the night, the moment that you least expect. Like in the time of Noah. Remember when the deluge descended upon them, they were all annihilated. Got to be prepared. Do you know the two worst things in the world? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Okay? One is this. Committing a mortal sin. You know something worse than that? Dying in mortal sin. Right? So committing a mortal sin is wrong because we lose God's grace, right? You got to go to confession. But dying in mortal sin, what happens? We lose our soul for all eternity. So, let's move on. Number four. Who then will judge us? And write this in there. Jesus. It is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who will judge me. What does the creed say? It says that he, Jesus, will come to judge who? What's that? The living and the dead. He'll come to judge the living and the dead. This is the creed, which means what we believe. We pray at every Sunday Mass after the priest finishes the homily. Okay, right now I'm going to give you the Bible passage that explains our final exam that we have to pass. We want to make it to heaven. And it's the famous passage in St. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And it's this. Is there a special passage that speaks about judgment? Yes, more than one. However, one of the most important is to take in from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. What does Jesus teach us in this passage? Very clearly, he says that he will separate. He will be like a shepherd that separates the goats from the sheep. The goats from the sheep. The goats who place on his left side and the sheep on his right. What does this mean? The goats are those who were they're bad. And the sheep are those who were good. What determines the bad from the good? It is clear. Jesus says that the good will help out people. He says, give food to the hungry. Next, give drink to the thirsty. Next, protect the endangered species? No. How about give clothes to the naked? Yes? How about lodging to the homeless? How about visit the sick and those in prison? So you're going to be marking, give food to the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, give clothing to the naked, lodging to the homeless, visit the sick and those in prison. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison, and he came to visit me. They say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and sick and a foreigner and a stranger and in prison? When, Lord? Whenever you did it to the least of my brothers, and you did it to me. Welcome to my Father's home. We're going to be treated the way we treat other people. I was hungry and thirsty and naked and a foreigner. And I was sick in the prison and you helped me? Every time you do that to anyone, we're doing that to Jesus Christ. One of the first stories I ever read, I was maybe 6 or 7, was the story of St. Martin. You know the life of St. Martin, Martin Caballero? He was a Roman soldier who lived many years ago. He was on his horse. It was a very cold winter night, and he had this cape, helmet, sword. And as he traveled on his horse, he saw this guy laying in the street that was half naked. This is in the middle of winter. The guy was shivering, skinny, bony. Luckily, he was about to die. What Martin did was he took his cape with his sword, he cut it in half, and he placed that cape around that man. That same night, he had a dream, and Jesus was wearing that cape. Then he went on to become a Christian, and a Catholic, and a priest, and a bishop, and now he's a great saint. His name is St. Martin, because St. Martin was able to see that poor man was really Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. So, what I sometimes do, there are many ways we can carry this out, but I carry in my car, I've got a box of granola bars. You know what a granola bar is? They're pretty good, no? You know, a lot of types. You got the peanut chocolate ones, you got the oats. There's a lot of different varieties. A variety is the spice of life, huh? So when I'm driving my car, and usually when you come off the ramp from the freeway, you've never noticed, there's usually the homeless people. There's usually homeless people that are there. If you ever driven on Carson, right near Denny's, no? Pollo Loco, there's usually some homeless person. And I roll down my window, and I usually give that person 2 or 3 of those granola bars. And you know, they're very grateful. Say, thank you. Somebody say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Oh, thank you very much for your blessing. May God bless you too. So start to form a friendship with the homeless people in Hawaiian Gardens. But when I'm giving it, I'm thinking, this poor man is very poor. Why he's there in the streets, I don't know. But when I give it, I'm giving it to Jesus Christ. That's my intention. So when I die, that poor man is going to be Jesus Christ. And you say, hey, welcome home. Thank you for those granola bars. Thanks for those granola bars. I was really hungry. And usually they rip open the paper and they just devour it. Give them a little bit of water at times if they got some water. And they're really grateful. And you know what I've often thought? Why is that homeless man on the street and why am I not there? I've thought about that often. Why is that homeless man on the street and I'm not there? Because God is so good. I could have ended up in the streets. I'm a New Yorker. I could have been end up underneath the Brooklyn Bridge or the George Washington Bridge there in New York. The George Washington Bridge crossing over from New Jersey to New York. could have been a skinhead there, right? One of those cholos underneath the bridge, huh? In New York City, near Yankee Stadium. I mean, could have been. But it's not that way, so I'm thankful. And I think that guy, that could be me. Could be you, could be you too. Could be you. Could be you without God's grace. Right, Diego? We could be there. Yeah, we got to be thankful that God has given us maybe some pretty good families, given us enough to eat, given us clothes on our back, giving us an opportunity to go to confirmation, giving us an opportunity to have a roof over our head. Got to be thankful, right? Abound in gratitude. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Amen? An attitude of gratitude. Got that, Diego? An attitude of gratitude. What?
Isn't that from like SpongeBob or something?
Well, I don't know. I thought I created maybe SpongeBob. Maybe he got it from me. I don't know. I don't want to steal credit where credit is due. No. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, next. What about the bad? On the other hand, the bad failed to help all those people in their need. What is Jesus really saying to us? What is he really saying to us? Jesus really is saying this. Everybody in this world has dignity, is loved by God, and should be respected. We are called to see Jesus in anyone in need. We're called to see Jesus in anyone in need. And to help him in any way we can. If we do, Jesus will reward us with eternal life. We're going to go to heaven. That's why we're here. Do we have many chances in life? No. We do not believe in what is called reincarnation. You ever hear the word reincarnation? That's the Eastern philosophy, no, the Buddhists. Maybe you heard of Buddhists. They believe it's called the wheel of existence, right? You come in, You live, you die, and you're transformed. So if you live a really good life, you come back as the King of England. You live a really bad life, you come back as a cucaracha. Or as a toad or a frog. Or as a tadpole. Or as a bat. Not the baseball bat, but the... Not Batman, but bat. Do we believe in the reincarnation, Diego?
No.
No. We don't believe in that. Other religion believe in that. We believe you only got one chance. You got one chance and then it's over. So there's some Catholic believe, oh, Father, you believe in reincarnation? When someone asked me, do you believe in reincarnation? And there was an ant that was walking near me and I went like this, no, I don't believe in reincarnation. See? If I did believe in reincarnation, I could have maybe killed my great-grandfather. Okay? So we don't believe that we only have one chance. And that's it. So we should really try to live our life to the fullest, right?
Yeah.
Live our life to the very fullest extent possible. Work hard in this life, we can rest forever in heaven, right? Okay, 13. What is the particular judgment? Okay, it is a judgment that we will all experience as soon as we die. So as soon as we die, we'll be alone with Jesus and he will show us all that we have done. Some of you might be saying, I want to go with me, abuelita. No. I want to go with my mommy. You know, you got to go by yourself. It's you alone with Jesus Christ and no one there, no? It's the moment of truth. So what does this mean? Everything. Number 14. Absolutely everything we have ever done will be seen by you and who else? And Jesus. Kind of scary, isn't it? So everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought, all the different gamut of emotions that go through your heart is going to be revealed as if the sun at midday. Now, if you really think about this, it's a really motivation to change our lives, isn't it? No? We think about this, no? Given that you're only 13, 14, 15, now is the time to change our lives. Not wait until you're 75. You might not even make it to 75. Now is the time to change. Don't put off your conversion until tomorrow. Maybe you don't have it tomorrow. Okay, so everyone will be seen by you and Jesus. All of your words, deeds or actions, things you should have done, thoughts, both good and bad, the feelings and inner movements of your heart. Also, Jesus will show you all the intentions that you had, be it good or bad. What does that mean? Exteriorly, you might be doing something that's good, but you might have a bad intention. So God is able to also read the intentions of your heart. We can read the exterior, but only God can read the very depths of the heart. Okay. Can I start a clean slate? Can I start a clean slate? Yes. Every time you make, what do you think? Every time you make a every time you make a good confession, Jesus washes you clean and you start a new life. It is like a movie filmer who goes through various forms of editing before the film is read or to be shown publicly. You know, probably in Hollywood, before they finally allow the film to be seen, they do what are called various forms of editing. So they'll look through it and they'll see certain things that maybe are not really that good, and then they'll go and they'll clip it out, they'll erase it, and then they'll clip that out, then maybe add something, then they'll erase something, then they'll try to maybe add this scene. Or so every time you make a good confession, it's like starting a new life. You like that? Gives a lot of hope, right? Even you live a bad life, you go to confession, you have to make a good confession. It's like having your soul as clean as this slate right here. Isn't it great to be a Catholic and be able to have that opportunity? Yeah. So take advantage of frequent confession. Don't hold off. Don't wait until tomorrow. Okay, next. What is the general judgment? So the particular judgment is when you die, as soon as you die, you go before Jesus Christ. How about the general? This will happen at, you know, I'll tell you, the end of the world. So one is when you die, the particular, the end of the world, that's a general judgment. How will it be? Jesus will show to all what everybody has done. It will be the moment of truth. It'll be the moment of truth. What will happen? Then those who have already been judged will be reunited with their bodies. Write that in there. They'll be reunited with their bodies. The saved will have a glorified body with Jesus. The damned will be united with their soul that has already been condemned and suffer even more. So right now, if someone dies and goes to heaven, he goes only with his soul. Someone dies and goes to hell, he goes only with his soul. And it's only the end of the world. End of the world, Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be sitting on his throne. And all the people who ever lived, from Adam and Eve until the last person in the created universe, those billions and billions of people are going to be there. And Jesus is going to say, I was hungry, you gave me to eat. And he's going to separate on his left the goats. They're going to go to hell. Then the sheep, they're going to go to heaven. And those who are already in heaven, they're going to be united to their bodies. Because they only have their souls. And those who are going to go to hell, they're united to their bodies. Those who did not serve Jesus Christ, they're going to leave the presence of Jesus. And they're going to be cast into a fiery pit. And that fiery pit is called hell. It's a place where you're going to have the devils, you're going to have the fire, there's going to be the demons, there's going to be crying, there's going to be despair, there's going to be all the worst things possible. So we don't want to go to hell, do we? But those who go to heaven are going to be with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and Mary and the angels and the saints. There's going to be a lot of peace and a lot of joy and a lot of light. There's going to be a lot of friendship. So it's either one or the other. And right now that you're going to confirmation, you're here to make your confirmation, but you're really here so you can get to heaven. Got that? That's why we're here. Primary purpose that we're here is we want to try to use all the tools we have so that when we die, Jesus is going to say, well done, faithful servant, welcome home. Right? That's why we're here. Well done, faithful servant, welcome home. I hope that we all hear that. I hope that we all hear that. But that depends on us. Depends on us. How can we prepare for Judgment Day? The response is clear. Try to live each day as if it were our last. To avoid sin, especially mortal sin, and be prepared. We know neither the day nor the hour of our death and judgment that follows right afterward. Okay, what I'd like to do is before we finish the last number, I want you to write down below that little picture, okay, five steps to prepare for death and judgment. I want all of us to make it to heaven. Okay, the first is right in there, is live each day as if it were my last. Live each day as if it were my last. Could be. Father, you sound somewhat apocalyptic. You sound kind of scary today. Well, say whatever you want. It could happen. You can live until you're 99. You can live another 24 hours. We don't know. You can get an accident in the freeway driving home, right? Could happen. So live each day as if it were your last. Second is grow in prayer. Grow in prayer. You grow in your prayer life, you're going to make it. You grow in your prayer life, you're going to make it. Listen to what St. Augustine says. He's a great saint. He says, he who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He dies well always well. Amen? Like that? He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. St. Augustine. Do you guys take your prayer life seriously? You're going to make it. But if you give up prayer, it's like not knowing how to swim. You fall in the middle of the ocean without a life jacket. It's like you got a beautiful lamp. You bought a beautiful lamp at Kohl's or whatever it might be, and you unplug it. Or someone that can't really breathe, and you take away his oxygen tank. Right? You ever see those guys? No? Or you want to go up to play baseball bat, you forgot to bring your bat. You're going to try to hit the ball. You're going to hit it with your pinky. No? Try it. Good luck. So prayer is our life jacket. Prayer is, here's a nice image I think you're going to like, Diego. What air is to the lungs, prayer is to your soul. Like that? Good one, isn't it? What air is to your lungs, prayer is to your soul. You don't breathe, you're going to die. You don't pray, you're going to die spiritually. You know, see, if you're healthy, you're trying to really pray more and better. You're on the right track. Third is this. We already wrote it, but let's write it again. Frequent confession. Frequent confession. Because confession is this. It's dying to sin. Amen? Frequent confession. It's dying to sin. Got that? Frequent confession.
Is that an F or a T?
This one here?
No. I, confession.
It's, it's an F. So you go to confession, you're dying to sin, isn't that right? And then this has not been mentioned, but I'm going to keep repeating it until it sinks to the very core of your being, the very fabric of your existence. Frequent Holy Communion. Frequent Holy Communion. Are you guys going to church on Sunday? Yeah, you go to church on Sunday and not simply go, but participate and receive Holy Communion. Listen to these words. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we receive communion. You're receiving God in your heart. Do it as often as you can. Now this morning I saw your grandmother and your grandfather at Mass. You go to daily Mass. Is Anna Argomanis, is that his name, the way you pronounce it? She looked pretty happy. Probably praying for you. That's good, right? You're going to Mass? Parents and grandparents, a lot of them going to Mass? You know, Luis, I see your mom and dad at church almost every day. I do. I mean, I'm really impressed that your father is very reverential. I mean, I really admire him. He goes up and receives him with a lot of love. And that gives me a lot of encouragement. And I'm certainly praying for you. Look, you're walking, huh? Yeah, probably because your parents are praying for you. Better to break your foot than to break your neck, huh? And you know, Luis, once he hurt his foot, he prayed so much that he prayed so many rosaries that his pants are ripping. You see right there? I admire him. You know, he hurt his foot. He had a lot of free time, so he's praying so much that he's got his pants. It's starting to rip here because all those rosaries that he said, probably said at least 150, right, Luis? Más o menos, right? Okay. I like to fool around with Lee or Luis a little bit, no? But he's praying a little bit, right? You got the rosary in your hands now. Okay, number five is Mary and the Rosary. Mary and the Rosary. Do you have any New Year's proposal? You know I have a New Year's proposal. Can I tell you what it is? I mean, it's only been 8 days into the new year, and I've been faithful first week. I still have another 353 days, something like that. I'm trying every day this new year, trying to pray four rosaries a day. Four. You pray three a day, don't you? Two and a half? At least one? How about a distracted Hail Mary? Now, you guys, I really believe that all of you guys could pray at least one rosary. Don't you think they can? You can at least get one rosary in, right? That you can do. No, it only takes 15 minutes. I think a lot of us waste time. We could use our time much more profitably. I really believe that. You pray the rosary every day? Yeah. Sometimes two? Cool. How about your husband? You pray the rosary every day? Yeah. Sometimes two? You go to daily mass?
Yes.
Daily communion? You like that? Give you a lot of peace? Yeah, they're both retired now, and they're teaching catechism, and her husband, and they come to daily mass. Her husband is a Eucharistic minister, right? Sometimes visit the sick and bring communion to the sick. It's a good way. Good way to use your time, right? Yeah. So, if you do these five things, you'll live each day as if it were your last. You know, you grow in your prayer life. And you know, you go to confession frequently. That doesn't mean, you know, once every 10 years, no? At least once a month, okay? At least once a month. Then you go to Mass, and in Mass, do you play any sports? You look like an ad. Would you play soccer? Baseball? Badminton. Okay. I know you play. Okay, I know. Yeah, you're track and field, right? Cross country. You used to? Basketball. Play basketball? Okay, good. Now, if you play basketball, is it good to be a bench warmer? A caliente banca? Is that your favorite position, being a bench warmer? No. Well, do you think there are a lot of Catholics that are bench warmers? What's a Catholic caliente banca, bench warmer? Catholic bench warmer is the guy that goes to church on Sunday, but he doesn't get up to receive Holy Communion. Maybe you're a Catholic bench warmer. Well, you have to change. Get off that bench. Make a good confession and start to participate. Okay? Amen? So I really believe if all of us do this, we're all going to make it to heaven. We might have to go to purgatory. That's temporary. Okay? That's temporary. But if you're in purgatory, you're going to make it to heaven. What do you think? Is that good advice? If we do this, we're going to make it. So try to put that into practice. Okay? We've arrived at number 20. Who can help us? Luis, you're faking ignorance so that they won't feel bad, huh? It's Mary can help us, especially if we pray the Hail Mary and the Rosary. We say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We should often pray this short prayer. Lord, I beg you not to be my judge, but to be my redeemer. So we're going to say a closing prayer that all of us will have the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. Amen? Have the grace of all graces to die in this state of grace so that one day we can go to heaven. Amen? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen? Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Okay, so we'll see you at Mass on Sunday.